Americans, like, we would much rather want the easy button than changing my diet. How do you deal with that as you work with your patients? You mean that I can't take a pill and eat cheeseburgers all day?
Yeah, great question. You know, it is a challenge. And, you know, it's made worse by the fact that we have some of the smartest people on the planet making foods extremely addictive. Rather than adding things in, if that's really a concern, or I'm getting the sense that, you know, really changing the diet is going to be challenging, taking things out is much easier. And not even, you know, taking out the bad stuff, even more extreme than that. Let's get them fasting. And getting them maybe just to skip breakfast and just go all the way to lunch. And that, from a metabolic perspective, can have a really profound impact, because that's, you know, fasting is what's going to reset insulin. And that's really the name of the game when we're talking about most of the nutritional issues.
This episode of Vital Conversations is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Tim Killen, and welcome to Vital Conversations, presented by Focus Solutions, where we talk to healthcare leaders about their business, what they're doing, and how the business is supported by data and technology. I am really pleased today to have a special guest who is not only a leader in the industry around functional medicine, but a friend and my personal physician. So we're going to violate everything on HIPAA, and I sign the waiver disclosures now. Welcome, Daniel Yakuro. Danny, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for being on Vital Conversations today.
Thanks for having me. It's a privilege.
We got a lot to cover, and the timing is good because with some political events and some new appointments, there's a lot of stuff around functional medicine in the news. Why don't we start off? But what's your summary of what in the world functional medicine is for people that might not know the idea?
You know, functional medicine is one of these things that I think almost every physician, the principles at least, people learn when they're in medical school. And it's just the idea that every dysfunction, every symptom theoretically has a root cause. And when we look at the body as a system of systems and approach wellness and sickness in that way, we can get people better. The way that we organize information from a functional medicine lens is by looking at each task that the body's trying to accomplish. Let's say it's assimilation, which is the integration of nutrients, taking food and you know, putting it inside of our cells so they can do what they need to do. But as you might imagine, that involves, you know, your musculoskeletal system when you chew, your GI system, of course, and then your cardiovascular system to move things around, hormones to get things where they need to go. So that's just a very small example of how, you know, we look at things from a functional medicine lens, knowing that it's a system of systems. That's really the foundation. I also want to make a very clear distinction that it's not really a subspecialty. It's really a way of thinking about health. So there's functional medicine neurologists, there's functional medicine primary care doctors, there's functional medicine GI doctors.
So with that, let's go back into your story. You did microbiology in Michigan, did med school at Cleveland Clinic. What was it, or when along your journey did you kind of have this mindset shift from what we might know as a traditional way of thinking to this functional medicine way of thinking? What happened and what got you here?
Sure. So I was a CrossFit coach for a long time while I was in undergrad, and then in medical school, was coaching, was competing. And I was seeing that I was really getting people off of medications while I was, you know, helping people in the gym. And that's what I thought I was going to get in medical school. And in medical school, I didn't get that for the most part, and considered dropping out my second year to actually open up a gym. I was looking at spaces, and to my parents' dismay, really, and they convinced me to stay in school. But also around that time, Mark Hyman, who was at the time going to be the director of the Center for Functional Medicine at Cleveland Clinic, came to our campus and you know, announced that they were opening up this center there, the Center for Functional Medicine. And I thought, wow, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is what I thought I was going to school for. And that's really what was the catalyst for me learning about this style of medicine, because it's really what I was looking for from the very beginning, and the catalyst for me staying in school, eventually pursuing family medicine, and then seeking out further training.
So mom and dad were happy you stayed in school, and you were happy because this aligned with what you were seeing in the world. Yeah. You talked about being a CrossFit coach, and I know that functional medicine in trying to work systemically has a lot of emphasis on nutrition, on exercise, on sleep. Talk a little bit about, you know, kind of where you tend to concentrate on some of those systemic causes of health-related issues and how that's different maybe than the traditional thing that we would think about with, you know, American medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really focus on about six different domains when I work with people: exercise, sleep, stress, nutrition, relationships, and then, you know, more than that, actually, meaning and purpose as well. And how you prioritize each of those depends on the individual, but kind of all comers, I would say the two most important things are really nutrition and sleep. And we take a very deep dive with our patients in those two domains. And if, you know, people have very limited time or very limited resources, I would probably even just focus on nutrition too, you know, okay, as the primary thing, even over sleep potentially.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of sort of hard realities maybe that are headwinds in the face of folks that approach health the way you do. One of them is Americans, like, we would much rather want the easy button than changing my diet. How do you deal with that as you work with your patients? You mean that I can't take a pill and eat cheeseburgers all day?
Yeah, great question. You know, it is a challenge. And, you know, it's made worse by the fact that we have some of the smartest people on the planet making foods extremely addictive.
Yeah.
But I typically, rather than adding things in, if that's really a concern, or I'm getting the sense that, you know, really changing the diet is going to be challenging, taking things out is much easier. And not even, you know, taking out the bad stuff, even more extreme than that. Let's get them fasting. Yeah. And getting them maybe just to skip breakfast and just go all the way to lunch. And that, from a metabolic perspective, can have a really profound impact, because that's, you know, fasting is what's going to reset insulin. And that's really the name of the game when we're talking about most of the nutritional issues. So that's typically the approach that I take when people are really resistant. And then also, you know, playing out their lives for them if they continue the path that they're going down. The big distinction, I think, that we make when we have that conversation is that they are not destined to follow the same path as their ancestors or their parents or their grandparents. So, you know, they say, oh, diabetes runs in my family, I'm going to get it, it's just a matter of time. When you play out the control that they have now and how that would play out if they make the right decisions and how that would be different from their perceived destiny, I think that's a big motivator for people too.
Which obviously means that the earlier you can get someone to the functional medicine mindset, the better, right?
If
you walked in and someone's way, way down that disease curve, you probably have fewer options to change the course of that glide.
Absolutely. And then it shifts, you know, a little bit, not a little bit, a lot away from medicine and more into psychology. Making these behavior changes, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the stages of change. You know, there's, you know, typically that's talked about in the smoking literature, but it is definitely, it definitely applies to any major lifestyle change, particularly nutrition. So that's when my role really shifts more towards, I think, like a psychologist or psychiatrist almost.
As a functional medicine physician, you're more concentrated on coaching, educating, encouraging than writing scripts, referrals, those types of things. And you were not getting that in med school. So where did you turn to for your personal education that you're now delivering to your patients?
I had to seek it out myself, unfortunately.
Okay.
When I, you know, I talked about that experience where Mark Hyman came to our med school and explained the launch of that program. He was the head of the Institute for Functional Medicine, which is kind of one of the big academic bodies that do a lot of training, and sought out the certification process through that organization. And that you can do it as fast as 2 years. I ended up, you know, doing it over several more, which required coursework and submitting cases and an exam and all that stuff. But I really had to do it on nights and weekends, used a lot of my vacation time, my elective time to get that training.
Speaking of which, so the Institute for Functional Medicine provides some certification, but if we step back broadly, there's all, it feels like kind of the Wild West around functional medicine, right? And, you know, if you go to internet and social media, there are a million content creators with all kinds of credentials, and intermittent fasting and keto and carnivore and yada, yada, yada. It's all over the place. How do you either lean into that with your patients who assume maybe have started there before they find you, or help them navigate all those? Because you had to work through it as a physician and you had some, you know, clinical capability to know good from bad. Now you got patients that are seeing stuff all over their Instagram or TikTok. How do you navigate that?
It's challenging, but you know, I'll usually start by expressing my happiness that they are seeking this stuff out, right? So the fact that they're just looking into this stuff and they care about their health, that's a huge win already. And
is that normally a good indicator that if a patient has done that, they are ready to change their mind, they're ready to change their approach to life?
They are. Yeah.
Okay.
They're typically very motivated, because the thing is they have to engage with that content, right? That's how the algorithms work. And I think that to me is a very good sign. But okay, so to the question about navigating all of this stuff,
yeah,
right? If people have credentials, like the Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner, that is already a good sign, or even a naturopathic degree or a chiropractic degree. And then, you know, an MD or DO, that's helpful. But there's still, you know, even in medicine, even people who are MDs, there are charlatans around.
Right.
So for me, the big thing is data.
Yeah.
Are they referencing research? Like if someone sends me a blog, are they sending me research studies, opening up the link to the research study? Are they actually referencing what the source is claiming, or what the statement is claiming? That to me is a big, big help.
Well, speaking of which, we've got this new dimension now, right? With the appointment of RFK Jr. And some of his points of view around words that no one can pronounce that, you know, he wants to eliminate, and, you know, the term seed oils that, you know, most people maybe had never heard of. Tell me what you think, kind of that overarching, you know, political noise is going to do to the field of functional medicine and engagement with patients.
I think it's going to drive its growth dramatically. I think with COVID especially, no matter where you stand on, you know, politics, it could have been handled better, you know, which we can say about any crisis, right? Of course. I mean, when you're in a crisis, you're making very important decisions with extremely limited data. Well, that said, one good outcome, I think it's caused people to question some of the powers that be. And it's for good, because it's really uncovered a lot of the mechanics of healthcare and how things are approved and you know, who really has your best interest at heart, put it that way. I think from a political landscape, how this is going to change is, you know, if RFK can do the things that he says he plans on doing, right. I think it's going to be a step in the right direction. I don't agree with everything he says, don't get me wrong. But generally speaking,
it's changing the conversation. At least.
Changing the conversation. Exactly. Yes. And people are, it's good to see a leader in power who's equally, as to put it technically, fed up and pissed off as most patients are with the system.
Right. Well, it's interesting. You mentioned, you know, a little bit, you're battling really smart people that make food addictive, big food, right? Which is a phrase we now on everybody's lips. We've also got big pharma, right? That has a lot of power and encourages physicians. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot easier to write a script than to try to deal with things systemically. Do you feel like at times this, you know, little boat of functional medicine is at one level trying to push back on a couple of these big forces that have led us the wrong direction?
Oh, 100%, 100%. It's a totally different process. It's, you know, it's instead of, you know, quelling a symptom, it's really trying to resolve the symptom itself. I mean, just as I'm sure you know this, given your background, but, you know, I can make the same amount of money by writing a script as I can spending 30 minutes with somebody. I mean, that just, the incentives are so perverse. And it's not, you know, there's good doctors that are trying to do the best they can and keep their lights on. And there's the subconscious motivation to write that script all the time, because say you're running an hour behind, you're like, oh man, what do I do?
Actually, unfortunately, you can make more money writing a script, because you can write three of those in 30 minutes as opposed to one, you know, the detailed 30-minute conversation. All right, this gets me to the last two topics before we close. Given everything that we've just said, functional medicine has, besides some mind shifts, changes, and power of big pharma and big food, you got a business model problem because the U.S. healthcare insurance industry has no method for compensating you for a 30-minute detailed assessment and coaching session. And you don't make a lot of money if I eat carrots instead of French fries, right? The right answer for me, but not economic for you. So what's the business model look like in the functional medicine world? What are the challenges that functional medicine providers are trying to overcome?
Yeah, the biggest, you know, what the nut that everyone's trying to crack is how to make this work in an insurance-based model. And there's really been no one that's been able to do it extremely well. We're trying to do it. It's working reasonably well. But no one has really nailed it. So most practices, what they do is cash pay, in various forms, you know, fee for service. They may, you know, for each visit, they may pay a certain amount. The trend that's very popular is direct primary care model, where people pay a certain
subscription type model.
Subscription model. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that works quite well. The issue is because there are so many hands in the revenue stream.
Yeah.
It's hard for the clinician to collect enough money for it to make sense and for it to be economically viable for the patient. So, you know, most people can't spend $500 a month on their care, even if that's what it takes. And, you know, even if that's going to, you know, keep them from developing much more costly diseases down the road, but it's just very challenging to make ends meet.
It does feel like it's available to higher socioeconomic folks right now, or you're kind of off on your own processing YouTube information, and hopefully, you know, you're getting good stuff and making the right decision. Final question. We kind of wrap our conversations up here about, you know, how is technology and data supporting your business? Talk a little bit about how you think about technology and data.
Sure. Well, certainly, you know, with an electronic medical record, I think that's an easy call out. But lately, really leaning into artificial intelligence, both for scribing, so you know, transcribing the visits, and also for patient communications offline, drafting, you know, message responses, things like that. Yeah. That's been hugely, hugely helpful. And as I think, the more that we leverage that, and I've ways of, you know, ways of thinking about that, I think we can make the economics work potentially. And also, you know, I want to end on a positive note here. I think that, you know, if we continue to show, which we already are showing, that this functional medicine approach is working and it's helping people get off medications and it's saving money, then I think insurers will be a little bit more interested, or at least, you know, some of the self-insured organizations, larger organizations.
Awesome. Danny, thanks for the time. If somebody wanted to either learn more about functional medicine or find out more about you, where could they go for either one of those?
Sure. Yeah. If you'd like to learn more about functional medicine, again, you know, the Institute for Functional Medicine is wonderful. IFM.org. If you want to reach out to me, I've got a LinkedIn profile. Feel free to find me there. I'm happy to respond. Just shoot me a message and I'll get back to you.
Awesome. Danny, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time, and more importantly, what you and a lot of other folks are trying to do to really help people get healthy and live long, productive, fruitful lives with meaning and purpose. So thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Vital Conversations is presented by Focus Solutions. Focus provides integrated IT data and software services to physician practices all across the United States. To hear more stories about physician practice leaders and what they are doing, subscribe to Vital Conversations wherever you get your podcast.